What is good about Good Friday? Our passage from John's Gospel reminds us of what Jesus endured. A sham of a trial, flogging, other forms of physical abuse, a crown of thorns and other forms of mockery. Jesus bearing his own cross, the instrument of his execution. His executioners gambling for his only possession on earth, the clothes on his body. And then Jesus being left exposed to suffer the slow and agonizing death of crucifixion in front of one of his own disciples, in front of his own mother. It's a chilling, torturous, and dark scene. It's a hard one to take in. So it's a fair question to ask. What is good about Good Friday? Well, just as our word goodbye is a contraction of the phrase God be with you, God be with ye, so did Good Friday originate as God's Friday. This day is God's day. Now, Sunday, the most important day in human history, is just around the corner. The day we celebrate Jesus' triumph over the grave. But we can't go there yet. We must linger here. For this day, God's Friday, was a necessary day. And though it caught the disciples by surprise, this day was no surprise. Scripture tells us that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. It had always been building to this. There was no plan B. This was always only plan A. And we catch glimpses of that plan woven throughout our Genesis passage. In a similarly chilling and dark scene that we would rather skip past, we encounter Abraham hearing the word of God, and God is giving him a frightening charge. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. We can only imagine what kinds of thoughts must have been racing through Abraham's mind. Living in a foreign land that was populated by all sorts of people who worshipped false gods that demanded human sacrifice and sometimes child sacrifice, wasn't it this God, the God of Abraham, who was supposed to be different? And offering Isaac, the long-expected son? God's promise to Abraham, the promise that he would be a father, had come when he was 75 years old, but Isaac wasn't born until he was 99. This son, the promised one for which he and Sarah had waited so long, he was to be taken away? And more than that, this promise hadn't ever been just about Isaac, but about the millions of descendants who would one day come from him. Isaac was but the first fulfillment, the first star, if you will, of a people who had been promised to outnumber the stars. So how could any of this square in Abraham's mind? Now, Scripture tells us that Abraham's faith was such that he trusted that the God who has power over life also has power over death. Hebrews 11 says that he considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. But we can be assured that didn't make the prospect of what Abraham had been told to do any easier or any less bewildering or any less incongruent in light of the promises made and the promises kept. Moreover, there is a stirring acknowledgement here in the Lord's words to Abraham. He describes Isaac to Abraham as your son, your only son, whom you love. This story, this dark and difficult story, marks the first time in Scripture where the word love appears. God acknowledges love here, and to be more specific, a father's love for an only son, here at the beginning of a story that appears to be heading only towards tragedy and disaster and grief and pain. But there is no plan B. And as we see in this story, there are all sorts of clues pointing us towards God's plan A. Isaac carries the wood for the sacrifice on his back, just as Jesus would carry the hard wood of the cross on his back. The church father Origen points out that carrying wood for a burnt offering would have been a role usually assigned to a priest, and thus Isaac foreshadows Jesus' dual role as both our high priest and our sacrifice. When Isaac inquires where the lamb for the sacrifice is, Abraham prophesies that God will provide for himself a lamb. But it's a ram caught in a thicket that gets sacrificed that day. A heavenly provision, for sure, but nevertheless, one that leaves that prophecy unfulfilled. One that would echo throughout the following centuries. What about that lamb? That lamb that only God can provide. A story that at first appears to be heading only towards a tragic end, instead reaffirms, at the moment that the angel stops Abraham, knife in his hand, that this God is not a God of human sacrifice. That will never be demanded of us. If anyone is going to sacrifice a son, their only son, whom they love, it will be God himself who does that. For as Scripture tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so it's similar with Good Friday, God's Friday. It was a day that at first appeared to be heading only towards a tragic end, towards hopelessness and helplessness. And make no mistake, it was a tragic day, for it was wrought by our misdeeds, our sins, our selfishness, and our disobedience. The only sinless one, the only obedient one, Jesus, died in our stead for our crimes. He bears the wood. He bears the punishment and the pain. He is the Lamb, the one, the only, the perfect and final sacrifice. And yet we balance these facts with the fact that this day, God's day, is the very day that all history had been heading toward since before the foundation of the world. God always had a plan for dealing with our sin and for redeeming us from the death that comes from sin. That plan was always going to come at an immeasurable cost to God himself. That is the love of a father, of our Father in heaven. And this is the day where we recognize that there is nothing we can do, not a single thing, to reverse the wrongs that we've done. This is the day that we come face to face with the fact that the solution is not in us, and we aren't the solution, because this is not our day. Even though this day is for us, it's God's day. And the immeasurable price that God paid came from an immeasurable love. And so we recommit ourselves and our lives to him once again this day with grateful and contrite hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.